Okay, good evening. A couple days ago, I was trying to figure out what topic to talk about, and that very day, two people asked me about kitnios. So I said, that's boring, everybody knows about kitnios. And then a third person asked me if marijuana was kitnios. So I said, well, that's an interesting question, maybe we have something to talk about. But before we get to marijuana, we have to start with the basic makoros. So the first makor that you see here is a Gemara in Psachim. There was actually a debate among the Tanaim whether things such as rice are chametz. There's an opinion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who says, Orez min daganu v'chayavin alchimutzo kares, v'adam yote ibde chovaso bepesach. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, rice can become chametz, you could make it into matzah, and if you eat it, it's an iser kares. But of course, we paskin like the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that rice cannot become chametz, it's not part of the iser, and certainly it is permitted to eat both midraisa and midrabanan on Pesach. So nobody thinks kitnios, we'll have to define what that is chametz. Nobody thinks it's aser midraisa, nobody thinks it's aser medina de gemara. The custom, though, developed sometime during the period of the Rishonim. As you saw from a numerous Rishonim that are in the Makoro sheets, it developed over time. We're not quite sure exactly when it started. There was a period of time where even in Ashkenazi lands, some people observed it and some people didn't observe it. It certainly never spread to Sephardi countries, though tonight David told me that Moroccans have the minhag not to eat kitnios, some kitnios, all kitnios. I didn't know that. One way or the other, it is an example of a minhag. Now, what is a minhag and what's the reason why we have to keep minhagim? So here in your second group of sources, time doesn't allow us to go into the details here, but the Gemara tells us that there's such a concept as a minhag. The Gemara here is discussing actually the practice of not doing melach on Erev Pesach. In some places they had a custom, it's actually aser to do melacha, certain types of melach on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and some had the custom not to do melacha the entire day. And the Gemara tells us that if the place where you live observes this custom, if you are makom shenagu shelo lasos melacha b'Erev Pesach, it's aser to do. Meaning to say, even though it's not aser midrabanan, there was no formal gzera or legislation which prohibited this act, it is nevertheless prohibited based off of minhag. That's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says we derive this, among other things, from the pasuk Shema b'ni b'usar avicha v'al titosh toras imecha. Toras imecha refers to the practices of Klal Yisrael and minhagim and the like. The Gemara quotes other psukim. The Gemara tells a story of how there was a certain town that accepted upon themselves a certain stringency not to do malacha on a Friday afternoon, and later on they wanted to retract. Became hard, they became poorer. And they were told, no, they can't retract. Once a minhag is established, so then it is binding. Traditionally speaking, minhagim were always local, meaning to say that you followed the minhag amakom. If I lived in Frankfurt, I followed minhage Frankfurt. Doesn't matter that my family originally started off in Galicia or in Baghdad. If I was a permanent resident of Frankfurt, I would follow minhage Frankfurt. I could wait 3 hours. And likewise, the reverse. If somebody moved to Morocco, even if they had Ashkenazi ancestry, they would follow minhage Morocco. Without getting into details, because again, it's a bigger topic, the practice nowadays is generally to follow family minhagim. It's not clear whether there's a basis for this practice. It happened because basically so many Jews were uprooted in the 20th century. In terms of Ashkenazi Jews, European Jewry was decimated and uprooted. Even among Sephardim, most of the communities ended up leaving their native countries and ending up in places like Israel or outside of Israel, where you had cities or communities that were comprised of many, many different people. Right in this room here in Teaneck, there are people that come from all different places, and instead of developing local minhagim as always had been, like minhag Teaneck, instead people kept family minhagim, at least for certain types of things, and that's the general practice. That's what one should do. So what is the reason for this minhag of kitnios, or is there a reason? So the Smak, you hear up here on page 1, writes, don't think that it's because people thought it was chametz. Because if it were the case that the minhag developed because people thought that kitnios was chametz, then you certainly would not have to observe the minhag. That's because a minhag that develops based off of a misunderstanding of the halacha is considered a minhag tos. Meaning to say, let's say there was a city, and the city developed the custom not to eat kitnios. And it was universal. Nobody in the city did it. But the basis was the false assumption that kitnios were chametz, so then such a minhag would not be binding. That would be a minhag tos. But the Smak says, it's impossible that that's the basis for the minhag of kitnios, because how could a minhag have started with respect to something that even Tinoko shel Beis Rabba know is not true? Everybody knows, you go to first grade and you know that rice isn't chametz. So that being the case, I don't know if they know that in first grade anymore. Anyway, rice is not chametz, so therefore that can't be the reason for the minhag. Well, what is the reason for the minhag? So he gives three reasons. Shlosh Hashem Achas. Number one, he says that kitnios, such as rice, is something that resembles a maisa kedera, meaning to say a bowl of rice is similar to a bowl of oatmeal. Oatmeal is chametz, so rice is also treated like chametz. Number two, why? Because ulai asi lechlufe. People might get confused. Number two, v'gam midei demidgan hu kemo chameshes aminim. It's harvested in fashion similar to chameshes minei dagan. Number three, that there are some places that make it into bread, meaning to say rice bread or later on cornbread, just like we have rolls, and therefore, again, people would come to confusion. Now, that's the reason quoted by the Smak and other Rishonim. Basically, the thesis is that kitnios is easily confused with chametz. Now, if you took that reason to its extreme, you shouldn't be able to make those Pesach rolls out of potato starch. There's another reason why you shouldn't make them, but that's not because of the halacha. As we'll see shortly, we don't necessarily presume that anytime the reason applies, the minhag applies. The Tur gives a different reason. The Tur understands that the reason for the prohibition is because the processing of kitnios is often done in conjunction with Mine Dagan, and therefore there's a concern that some chametz might get mixed into it. So again, the two primary reasons are either it resembles chametz or there's a chance that some chametz might get mixed into it. So if you take a look at the next group of sources, you'll see that, as I mentioned, there was some debate. The Smak writes that his Rebbe, Rebbe Yechiel Miparis, did eat certain types of kitnios, white beans, and he writes later, it's hard to be mekel because there's a minhag lahachmir. There's a discussion about chardal. The Or Zarua later on writes, v'afki be'enai advar nechonim v'aminhag shenagu avosenu machmas tos. Maybe it's a minhag tos. Who knows if it was right. Generally speaking, the custom developed in Ashkenazi lands, as we'll see shortly, to prohibit it, though among achronim, at least there's one holdout. The Yaivitz writes that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, was very upset about this minhag, and he writes, Al Kenan Yomer, Hamevatel Minhag, is anyone who gets rid of this minhag of kitnios? Yehi Chal Kimo, I'd love to join them. Halavai Eskimu Imadei Gedolei Ador, if only the other Gedolim will listen. Well, they didn't listen, and for better or for worse, the minhag developed. In fact, the Maril uses such a strong lashon, he writes, Dechol Degazru Rabbanan Ha'over Alav Chayv Misa. Whoa, be kitnios or Chayv Misa. Now, it's not formally a takana de rabbanan. I assume he means that following minhagim are asamid rabbanan, and therefore it's bechal lo sasar. So what's the bottom line? The Beis Yosef has a great line. Lest the chash l'dvarim halalu zulasi Ashkenazim. The only people that worry about this are the crazy Ashkenazim. Nevertheless, the Ramah writes, Anu b'nei Ashkenaz nagul hachmir. In the Shulchan Aruch, we find exactly that. The Mechaber Paskins mutter lasis me'am tavshil. You could eat kitnios. And the Rama writes, V'yesh Ostrim v'aminag ma'ashkenaz lahachmir v'ein l'shanos. So halach l'maisa, we follow the Rama. The minag is to be machmir, and Ashkenazim should not eat kitnios. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that we treat it with the same stringency as chametz. For example, the Rama writes, Miu pasha t'ein Ostrim b'dieved. Enough lo tol chatavshe. Let's say some kitnios fell in, or some rice fell into your potato kugel. It's okay, b'diaved, even though when it comes to chametz, we say it's aser b'mashu. Here we say it's not aser b'mashu, it's batel b'rov. We don't even require shishim. If it's rove, not kitnios, the Mishnah Berurah says it's okay. V'chein mutar lahadlik b'shmanim anasim mehem. Even though when it comes to chametz, there's an iser hana, when it comes to kitnios, there's no iser hana, so you can use kitnios oil to light your candles. V'einan asuran im nafu tachatavshu. V'chein mutar lahashos mine kitnios b'vayis. We don't say there's an iser bal yirav, bal yimatzei on kitnios. You could keep them in the house. You don't have to sell them. In fact, the next tshuva, the Ber Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, has an interesting theory. He says, why is it that we have those leniencies, like no bal yira'eh, no hana? After all, if we're concerned that they should be treated like chametz, so let's go all the way. And he says, he thinks the gadar is as follows. Anything about which, if you consumed it, it would be an iser kares. We know we treat iser kares very stringently. So then we're machmir about kitnios. But if it's not an iser kares, so then there is no iser. So bal yira'eh, there's no iser kares, and therefore you can keep them. Hana from chametz, though again, though prohibited, there's no iser kares, and therefore it's okay to have hana. So he says, that being the case, he thinks it should be mutter to be mevatel kitnios, even l'chatchila, as long as it's done before Pesach. Why? According to the Rambam, if you have chametz mixed in, it's aser to eat, it's even aser midaraisa, but it's not an iser kares. Even if there's kezayis bechdei achilas pras, it's not an iser kares. So he thinks, now it's true, other Rishonim argue, he thinks kedayu arambam lismoch alav b'iser kitnios, and therefore, if you want to mix kitnios products into your food, as long as it's done before Pesach, that's okay. That kula, though, has not generally been accepted. However, in cases of tchak, we are makel. So for example, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, even though we have to observe this minhag, Beferish kiblu ula yesh nas betzoros chas v'shalom. When they instituted, or when the custom developed, lo nahagu b'shas hadchak. There was a year in Europe where there was a potato blight, for example. And what do you eat on Pesach? Eat potatoes. There was a potato blight, there was a very limited supply of potatoes, matzah is very, very expensive. So Rav Yitzchak Elchanan said that year, lo nahagu b'shas hadchak, like the Aruch HaShulchan says over here, and one can be lenient on kitnios. Likewise, for a chola, even a chola she'en bo sakana, one could be lenient for kitnios. We give babies kitnios, let's say, if that's necessary. A lot of times formula has kitnios in it, for example. Or again, someone who's recovering and needs something gentle for their stomach, rice or the like. Sorry. And that's the halacha. The Nishmas Adam, you see over here, was very machmir on the shayla, but that's halacha. What about kalim? In other words, could I go eat at a Sephardi's house? After all, I know that he used this very pot this morning to cook rice in it. So the Kaf HaChaim writes, it's mutter only after me'es leis. If you've waited 24 hours, so then, strictly speaking, the tam from the kitnios would not be good, so it's okay, but you have to wait 24 hours. The Zera Emes says it's mutter even ben yomo. The Maram Shik says also it's mutter ben yomo, though the minhag is if you're cooking rice for someone who's sick or for children, you should preferably keep separate pots. Rav Avadia thinks it's mutter l'chatchila, meaning that's no surprise, right? Sfardim could eat it, but he writes that Ashkenazim could eat at the houses of Sfardim even if the kalim are ben yomo. So it's a machlokas aposkim whether it's mutter to eat on kalim that are ben yomo. Somebody asked me just now, is it mutter on Erev Pesach l'achratzos? Is also machlokas achronim. So now we have to talk about the basic question of what are kitnios? What's included? So Rav Moshe here was asked a question, what about peanuts? So he said that the person asking the question said maybe it should be usher, because maybe both reasons that we said apply. Quite questionable, but he says maybe they're planted together with grain, and maybe they could be made into peanut bread like grain. Never heard of peanut bread. But anyway, Rav Moshe says that even if you're right that the reasons could theoretically apply, it's still okay. Why? The klal gadol is that the only things that constitute kitnios are the things that we were noheg bahem iser kitnios. And thus we have counterexamples. The reason, you know, one of the reasons given for kitnios, like we said, is that it could be made into flour. So you can make potato starch. Nobody ever said potatoes are kitnios. Actually, someone said it. But that's certainly not the minhag. You're going to say that, well, what about things that are processed together with wheat? Well, coriander seeds and aniseeds, the Magen Avraham says, those were processed together with wheat. And nevertheless, the Rama says it's okay. So we have plenty of counterexamples, and the bottom line is that it's only things that the Olam was noheg as kitnios. Now, that doesn't mean to say that it had to be part of the original minhag. For example, it's more or less universally accepted to include corn as kitnios. Now, why should it be that corn is kitnios and potatoes aren't? They're both from the New World, and they both could be made into bread. So it's true corn is a little more domat to bread, and maybe, and wheat isn't, and sorry, and potatoes aren't. Nevertheless, the bottom line is makom shenagu, yes? And if there's no minhag, it's no problem. There's no, so therefore Moshe's bottom line is when it comes to peanuts, if you have the minhag not to eat kitnios, sorry, not to eat peanuts, then you should observe that minhag. But otherwise, it's okay. And he says, even if you're unsure if that's your minhag, it's also okay. There's an interesting discussion about extracts, meaning to say things that were derived from kitnios products. An example of that would be as follows. The most common example is citric acid. In the United States, most citric acid comes from corn syrup. Or another example is aspartame, like Diet Coke. So that also comes from kitnios. Is that okay? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that if you have something that's non-kosher, that totally is transformed, it is now kosher. He talks about this in the context of musk. Even if musk comes from non-kosher animals, it's okay, because it's nothing like the original. Or it's nothing like blood. Or another example he gives in Rabbeinu Yonah is if you have the bees that fall into honey. So bees aren't kosher, but they get transformed into the honey, and therefore you could eat the honey. Things that, now not everybody agrees, the Rush disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah, but the practice is that we follow the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, at least when it comes to Yisurim de Rabbanan, kitnios are at worst, inis de Rabbanan, and therefore many poskim, this is the OU policy, which gives a hechsher on Diet Coke, assume that kitnios shenishtanu are usser. Of course, the Hamisha brands would never do that. So we have 5 minutes left, so we could, I'm sorry?
What do you mean?
Mutter. Kitnios shenishtanu are mutter. Thank you for the correction. Based off of that Rabbeinu Yonah. So now for the fascinating example, what about marijuana? So, first of all, let's note that this is a theoretical question. I'm not saying that halakha l'maisa, you could have marijuana. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, all of whom say it's absolutely usser. But theoretically, I have a friend who's a rabbi in Denver. He said he was asked the following question: can I go ahead and make havdalah on marijuana for the psalm? He said, forget just the psalm. You could use it for ha'esh. Maybe you could use it instead of the wine. So now we want to know, what about kitnios? So the Rambam talks about cannabis, and he writes that cannabis is, this is on page 5, is a vegetable, it's not kitnios. Seemingly it should be okay. Now, I was wondering when I saw the Rambam, did he realize what cannabis could be used for? So at least the Radvaz was. It says, the Radvaz writes, Aval alei ha-kanavus ha-nikra kanav ochlin oso b'mitzrayim u'mishaker, they're intoxicating, v'omrim shu misameach, it makes you happy, i.e. high, v'ochlin oso. Anyway, so they were aware of what it does. There's a whole discussion here in the Radvaz and all the noshel in the Rambam. There's a steer in the Rambam when it comes to cannabis. Is it a vegetable? Is it kitnios and the like? There are some poskim that are machmir. There's a fascinating tshuvas minchas yitzchak here about it. What's so amazing about the halachic process is there's a tshuva, this tshuva the minchas yitzchak talks about two things, cottonseed oil and marijuana on Pesach. And it's just one tshuva mixed together like, you know, they're the same shiloh. Anyway, halach l'maisa, the poskim are split as to whether it's kitnios or not. There are some rishonim and achronim that sound like it is. But I saw that in the Star K guide, they're machwi el lahakel, that they put hemp under the list of grains that can be eaten on Pesach if you're sure that they have no chametz. There's a great article on this by my friend Dan Rabinowitz in the Svarim blog, if you want to know more. Another example of this phenomenon is quinoa. So seemingly, according to Rav Moshe's criteria, kinwa should certainly be okay, even if you were to argue, which is again quite questionable, that the reasons for the prohibition against kitnios do apply to kinwa. Nevertheless, there certainly was no minog, and therefore it should be okay. That's why for a number of years the Starkei has been giving a hechsher kosher lePesach kinwa. Until this year, the OU was machmir, and for various reasons, you could read the article about it on page 6, the OU changed their position, and this year you could even get OU kosher Pesach kinwa. So on that note, I want to wish you all a very happy and kosher Pesach, and I'll see you afterwards. Chag kosher v'sameach. Sure.